think I'll just leave his present here,"
said Hermione, laying the package neatly in the middle of the depression in the rags and blankets and closing the door quietly.
"He'll find it later. That'll be fine."
"Come to think of it," said Sirius, emerging from the pantry carrying a large turkey as they closed the cupboard door, "has anyone actually seen Creature lately?"
"I haven't seen him since the night we came back here," said Harry. "You were ordering him out of the kitchen."
"Yeah," said Sirius, frowning. "You know, I think that's the last time I saw him, too. He must be hiding upstairs somewhere."
"He couldn't have left, could he?" said Harry. "I mean, when you said out, maybe he thought you meant get out of the house."
"No, no. House elves can't leave unless they're given clothes. They're tied to their family's house," said Sirius.
"They can leave the house if they really want to," Harry contradicted him. "Dobby did. He left the Malfoys to give me warnings 2 years ago. He had to punish himself afterward, but he still managed it."
Sirius looked slightly disconcerted for a moment, then said,
"I'll look for him later. I expect I'll find him upstairs crying his eyes out over my mother's old bloomers or something. Of course, he might have crawled into the airing cupboard and died, but I mustn't get my hopes up."
Fred, George, and Ron laughed. Hermione, however, looked reproachful. Once they had had their Christmas lunch, the Weasleys and Harry and Hermione were planning to pay Mr. Weasley another visit, escorted by Mad-Eye and Lupin. Mundungus turned up in time for Christmas pudding and trifle, having managed to borrow a car for the occasion, as the Underground did not run on Christmas Day. The car, which Harry doubted very much had been taken with the knowledge or consent of its owner, had had a similar enlarging spell put upon it as the Weasley's old Ford Anglia. Although normally proportioned outside, 10 people, with Mundungus driving, were able to fit into it quite comfortably. Mrs. Weasley hesitated at the point of getting inside. Harry knew that her disapproval of Mundungus was battling with her dislike of travelling without magic. Finally, the cold outside and her children's pleading triumphed, and she settled herself into the back seat between Fred and Bill with good grace. The journey to St. Mungo's was quite quick, as there was very little traffic on the roads. A small trickle of witches and wizards were creeping furtively up the otherwise deserted street to visit the hospital. Harry and the others got out of the car, and Mundungus drove off around the corner to wait for them. They strolled casually toward the window where the dummy in green nylon stood, then, one by one, stepped through the glass. The reception area looked pleasantly festive. The crystal orbs that illuminated St. Mungo's had been turned to red and gold so that they became gigantic glowing Christmas baubles. Holly hung around every doorway, and shining white Christmas trees covered in magical snow and icicles glittered in every corner, each topped with a gleaming gold star. It was less crowded than the last time they had been there, although halfway across the room, Harry found himself shunted aside by a witch with a walnut jammed up her left nostril.
"Family argument, eh?" smirked the blonde witch behind the desk. "You're the third I've seen today. Spell damage, fourth floor."
They found Mr. Weasley propped up in bed with the remains of his turkey dinner on a tray in his lap and a rather sheepish expression on his face.